have a lot of feelings. You wrote a book about, you know, that first experience working on a cadaver in anatomy lab. Why was that so moving for you?
Yeah, so I was a writer before I came to medical school, and writing had always been a way for me of making sense of the world. And then I walked into the anatomy lab and realized this was something that I really needed to make sense of. So that experience of dissecting a cadaver, coming into contact with mortality laid bare on the table in front of you, and trying to have a sense of what that experience was going to be like as I became a physician, was something I really felt the need to write about. First of all, you're walking in and you're confronted with death in a very matter-of-fact way. So I think for some of the students in the anatomy lab, it was the first time they'd ever seen a dead body. So that's one truth that you have to face. The sheer permanence of death is really laid out in front of you. So no matter what you do to this body, the body doesn't flinch, the body doesn't react. And that's a really counterintuitive thing when you've only ever seen bodies that do cry out in pain or wince when they are cut. So that's a really strange realization, I think. I also think, you know, we all have this sense that we know our bodies, that our bodies are intuitively ourselves, but then you open up the body and you realize, I had no idea what my pancreas looked like or what my spleen looked like. And so there's this foreignness also to the territory of anatomy that I think is thrilling and also kind of unnerving. I really feel strongly that that interaction with a human body is something critical that can't be replicated. And for really two reasons. One of them is anatomical, and one of them is really more about the practice of being a physician. From the anatomical reason, you know, there's intense variability from cadaver to cadaver. So there's a familiarity you may have with your own cadaver, but when you go to look for the spinal accessory nerve in another cadaver, it may be a different color, it may be in a slightly different position, it may be a different size. So that human variability, you know, we all look a little different on the outside. We also all look a little different on the inside. And that human variability is not possible to replicate when you're all looking at the same virtual model. I think the other argument, and perhaps even, in my opinion, the more important argument, is that medical students are human beings. And as doctors, we have to do things that are sort of beyond the realm of human response. So when someone comes into the trauma bay of the emergency room, we cannot have an emotional response in that moment. Oh my goodness, this is a 42-year-old mother of two who's come in and is terribly wounded. Instead, we have to be thinking about what action needs to take place, how do we need to assess this person and intervene. And yet we are human beings who have human responses. My sense is that those responses that we begin to learn those responses with a cadaver. And then we can feel repulsion or disgust or dismay or sadness, but without the human cost of having our patients be the ones about whom we have those emotions. So to be kind of grossed out in anatomy is part of the experience, but then that means when you are dealing with an infected wound in one of your patients, you've already sort of figured out how to handle the feeling of disgust on someone whose feelings are not going to be hurt in the same way that they are when you're dealing with a human patient.
In this book, you go on an odyssey and you kind of learn a little bit about the history of anatomy lessons, about the teaching of anatomy. And before we had body donation programs, medical students had to learn somehow, right? So they were robbing graves. What were they doing?
Yeah. So anatomy has an incredibly wild and wacky history. And you're absolutely right that it was characterized by grave robbing and body snatching. And there's a way in which, too, that the audacity of those early anatomists is a very profound thing for a medical student to realize, that we have these bodies that are beautifully prepared, that are preserved in formalin, that don't decompose. They're on stainless steel tables. We have sharp tools. You know, it's all a lovely setup. But to think back about the early anatomists who defied law, legal edicts and church edicts against dissection, who were required to dig up their own bodies out of cemeteries or wait beneath the hangman's noose for bodies to dissect. That's pretty stunning. And also there are all kinds of stories about how different fragrances were burned at different times of the year because bodies would decompose very quickly in anatomical theaters in the summertime, or students would get so anxious that they would hire symphonies to play as the students would walk into the anatomical theater. So I think that also there's this power in the trajectory of anatomy, that people really were bold and audacious in making these discoveries about the human body, and we're now a part of that trajectory.
And they've also been very creative over the years in kind of trying to make the next best thing. If they couldn't get their hands on a body, they would make wax models.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of those wax models are really beautiful and eerie at the same time. And they're on display in Italy and other places. You can go and see, you know, this lovely young woman with a string of pearls around her neck and then her abdomen totally flayed open and exposed. So there's some real oddity in the medical history of anatomy also, which I find sort of scintillating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I got the chance to go to the Dittrich Museum of Medical History in Cleveland and see some Ozu models, some papier-mâché models. I mean, it's just incredible how much attention to detail people put into making these models. I guess because they knew that there just wasn't a steady supply of bodies and they had to have some alternatives.
That's right. And also, you know, this is a time of exploration. The body was not known in the way that it's known now. So this was almost like a form of cartography or exploration, that people were charting out the body and making representations of it so that others could learn the lay of the land.